Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
That's the sound of the nuns that you're listening to at St. Mary's Abbey in Glencairn, singing a hymn during afternoon prayer. And Glencairn is nestled on the banks of the River Blackwater in County Waterford. It's the only Cistercian monastery for women in Ireland, and with vocations in decline and the communities growing older, our reporter Maura Fay travelled to Glencairn to see how the sisters are meeting these challenges and to ask if their way of life has changed with advancements in modern technology. And Maura is here. You didn't stay, Maura. You're back with us.
They let me go.
You had a lovely visit, though, I know. Who did you meet?
So I met with Sister Beatrice, Sister Anne and Sister Angela. They are part of a community of 26 nuns, three of whom are in their 30s, going all the way up in age to the eldest sister, who is 88 years of age. So their community is currently maintaining a critical mass. Now, I always thought that nuns lived in a convent, but they do in fact live in a monastery. Sister Beatrice, who is a junior nun there, explained to me that this title reflects the Cistercian way of life. Monastery comes from the word mono, meaning the nuns don't leave the community. They eat, pray and work in the same place. Whereas the word convent comes from the word convene. In convents, nuns might go out to nurse or teach during the day and then they reconvene later in the
evening.
There
you go now, I didn't know that.
Sister Beatrice joined the order after doing a law degree in Trinity. She told me it was actually two RTE programmes that inspired her to choose this vocation. One of the which was a programme from 1966 about Irish missionary nuns working in the Turkana Desert in Kenya, and the other was a programme about Glencairn Abbey itself. I asked Sister Beatrice, how exactly does one become a nun and if it's like applying for any other job?
That's a really interesting question, because when I was about 8 in school, a Mercy Sister came to prepare us for communion and I put up my hand and said, how do you become a nun? And she explained her vocation story in the sense of God calling her in prayer. And at the end, she said, did I answer your question? And I was very shy and I was like, no, because I wanted her to tell me, like, did she go to the convent? Did she ring the doorbell? Did she write a letter? What happened? But she didn't answer in that way. And so I had also wondered that myself. But basically, most orders and communities have a vocations director, or somebody who is in charge of meeting people who are asking questions about their life. They're not a recruiter. They're not there to bring you and grab you and take you into the fold. They're there to accompany you and say, you know, what is God asking of this young woman? What does he want of her? So I sent an email to the vocations director here and we had a back and forth and then maybe a phone call, and then I came and visited. First I stayed in the guest house, and that's very typical, you know, and then after a couple of visits I came into the community. So I stayed with the sisters in the monastery and worked with them and prayed with them. We pray in community 7 times a day, so I just did everything that they were doing it in so far as I could. And a few of those visits, we call them like a live-in or an observership. And then you apply, there is, you know, an official application process. So then that starts after that. But there's a lot that comes before that, you know, the kind of informal visits and conversations and getting to know the community and the community getting to know you as well, because it's mutual discernment. You can't just rock up and be like, I'm joining. You know, they have to say, well, is this the right place? And is this the person the right fit?
I also asked her if her family had had any concerns about her choosing this life.
Sure, they were worried. And it's interesting because these things kind of affect us at different times. So for my family, when I entered the monastery, it was sad or difficult for them. But for me, it was like an exciting new adventure and like a new world opening up, and something I had been thinking about for a long time and praying about. And I already knew the community to some extent, but for them, this was something that they hadn't imagined, and really hadn't occurred to them that that was something that they would have to do too. They'd have to come visit a monastery, get to know nuns, become part of this life in the church that they didn't necessarily need to, want to have anything to do with. So it is just a journey for both of us, but at different times and different paces. So it's not so easy in the beginning, but now as they come to get to know the life, get to know me, and that I'm not different, or I'm not myself, I'm just becoming more who God made me to be.
Well, Margaret has been on to us, Maura, and says, I'm 60, and when I was about 8, a nun gave us a talk on vocations and told us that if we had a vocation, God would call us. I distinctly remember praying to let God know I wouldn't be a good choice. And please don't call me, Margaret. That might have been a good call for you when I was 8, and it must have worked as well. So how did the nuns that you met, how did they earn a living, and how did they keep the monastery going financially? Because all of that must be a challenge too, right?
It is. They have a number of enterprises. They make communion wafers. They have a card department which makes memorial cards and greeting cards. And of course, some of the nuns get the old age pension. They also grow their own bioenergy crop, miscanthus. Since 2016, this has been the main source of heat for the monastery. Up until 2005, they also ran their own dairy herd. Sister Anne, who has been with the Cistercians for almost 39 years, told me what that experience was like.
When we stopped, we were milking 96 was in the herd. So it was very fulfilling. It was a kind of endearing. It's a very routine kind of a life too, and often when you'd see the line of cows coming in, black and white cows, they'll say the Cistercian cows, because as you see, we're in black and white ourselves. And the routine of the milking too, like you'd get cows coming in and eat one line. They were a very routine kind of a thing, and you'd get one cow coming in at the same place in every row, every time she come in. And the same with us. Our life is very routine, you know. So, like, you could learn a lot from you know, the background of the dairy herd, really, you know.
Are there certain rules that you have to follow in terms about, you know, how you dress? Do you have to wear a habit? Are you allowed to have a mobile phone? Are you allowed to go on the internet? What, like, are there certain restrictions like that?
There are certain restrictions, like we do wear a habit. It's a very distinctive habit. Anytime, like if you're out in a hospital or anything like that, most of the locals would know, like, this, you're from Glencairn, from the habit, because it is very distinctive. And there is a place for that, because the amount of people that would come up to you when you're out like that and say, well, you're from Glencairn, will you pray for my sister, or my brother, or, you know, they feel free to approach you. Whereas if you haven't a habit, you know, they don't know who you are. And a lot of young people now would never see a nun in a habit either. And it might be a wake-up call for them too, you know, to say, well, there are still some nuns, you know. Because in a lot of the schools now, like in Arton, you know, even if there are nuns in them or sisters in them, like, they're not in habits anymore, you know. So it kind of puts people thinking about, like, there are still nuns and there are still people entering these kind of places.
Well, there's plenty of people getting in touch saying that that sounds like a lovely life, you know, when you hear about the cows and the lovely music we heard at the start. And on the issue of the mobile phone, you asked about that. Are they allowed to have a phone?
That was something I asked Sister Angela about. She describes herself as a late vocation. She joined the order after turning 40. She told me that the sisters can have phones, but they mainly use them for things like online banking, or if they're from abroad, they use WhatsApp to stay connected to their family. I asked her if she thought that the public might have certain misconceptions about what life is like in an enclosed order.
I imagine a lot of people think we're very, very holy, which certainly in my case is not true. Or that, you know, I did remember one time a young girl thinking that we, you know, it constantly had a sense of God, like we were living in it. I was living in another reality or something where it constantly was aware of God, which is not. Like, that's no, I'm not any more aware of God than other people who have faith, or so. And also it's a more challenging life probably than people imagine.
Can I ask you just what you mean by that? You're not very, very holy. Like, what's very, very holy, and how are you not like that?
I think people can think, I remember, you know, some sisters saying that people are shocked that we might fight. You know, there might be arguments among the sisters or disagreements, or there might be someone that you don't get on with. You know, that we're very normal and very human, and we have, we're the same as all other people.
Would you say it's a happy life here?
Yeah, definitely it is. I mean, not every day, everyone has their ups and downs, but yeah, it is a happy life. It's meaningful and fulfilling.
Is it something you'd encourage people to do in 2025, maybe look into a life of vocation?
I wouldn't discount it. I mean, it's up to the individual. Yeah, they have to feel called to do that, you know, but I would encourage it to be there as a possibility.
I know it's an enclosed life here, but do you follow much of what happens in world politics or world news, or say like the new Pope getting elected?
I would check the news headlines, yeah, most mornings. But I was never a great news reader anyway, so I'm not like a good person maybe to ask. It's up to the individual sister. Like, some sisters would be more up to date about politics, but I never was before I entered. So, but I'd be more interested in local news, like things that are happening locally or the local people. But I was very happy to see the Pope. Like, he seems like a very nice, kind person and very human, and yeah, I think it's hopeful for the church.
And can anyone go in and visit them and see what it's like there?
Yeah, they do welcome visitors. Maybe email, give a bit of notice. Yeah, but they are there and people can go in and attend mass there as well. So,
because it sounds lovely. I mean, the vibe of the place sounds very calming, you know, and restful in a way.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. It's very the nuns are very easy to talk to and they're very relaxed. And you do feel it is, and it is a special place physically as well, because it's in the Blackwater Valley and you can see the Cumber Mountains in the distance.
Gorgeous.
And, yeah.
And they have a good website as well if people want to check out the way of life, the Cistercian way of life.
Yes. It's glencairnabbey.org. So that details all the history of the Abbey, about the sisters and all the work that they do.
Okay, Maura, thank you very much. Maura Fay there.